Now, regarding tonight, there's been a couple of people who've said that they're not coming tonight because they don't have anything to wear. Can I just say, neither do I. But we all have clothes, and it's not about what you're wearing. So come as you are. One other person said that they weren't coming because of the finance side. If finance is a problem for you, then please don't let that be the reason why you're not coming and sharing dinner with us tonight. This is an opportunity for us, yes, to celebrate Noli and say farewell, but it's also just an opportunity for us to get together as a church and share a meal and have some fun. So let me encourage you to come along tonight. It will be fun. We all have to eat. Let's just eat together. So there is a sign-up sheet just so that we know for numbers. It would be good if you could put your name on that. If you haven't already, I'll just leave them out in the foyer. Yes, from the local Indian restaurant is cooking the main part of the meal, so it will be quite delicious. There you go. How can you say no to that? Welcome, Paria in a bus and family. Nice to have you here this morning. Trying to sneak in? Yes. Okay. You can meet the twins at morning tea. Let's just pray. Our Lord God, we want to thank you for this amazing family that you've allowed us to be part of. We just thank you for the church, for the way that it draws us together in our shared faith and relationship with you. Help us this morning as we look at the proclaimed kingdom. Help us to have understanding of what it means to be your people, living in your place under your rule and blessing. Give us ears to hear, and hearts and minds that are willing to be challenged and to take on the new things that you might be speaking to us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but over this past week, I have been incredibly moved and inspired as I've watched events unfold in New Zealand. The outpouring of kindness and compassion, the storage of courage and generosity, the expressions of solidarity and unity and peace that we've seen, where instead of anger, people opened their doors and allowed others to grieve with them. I've been so impressed with the leadership of their Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, as I've watched her unify people who otherwise have been separated by race or culture or religion, the way she's appealed to their common humanity, to their shared values, calling on every person, in her words, to make their communities the places that they wish them to be, to make the best of us a daily reality. In New Zealand this week, I saw glimpses of the proclaimed kingdom. Through the words and the actions that we saw reflected, through different things that people said and did, I saw the character and the values of the kingdom of God that arrived in the person of Jesus. And that's what we're looking at this morning. If you were here last week, Cameron gave us a really good summary of where we've gotten up to now, finishing on the present kingdom. He described the events that unfolded in the four Gospels, where all the promises of God were fulfilled in Jesus. He became God's people, God's place, and God's rule, the King or the Messiah that the whole Old Testament had been pointing to. Today we move on to the next kingdom, the proclaimed kingdom, and it's described for us in the book of Acts as well as the New Testament letters. It's the kingdom that we live in today. It's been going for over 2,000 years. And so what we're hearing about today is actually very relevant for us. So what is the proclaimed kingdom? Well, it's the kingdom of God come to earth in the person of Jesus. Through his life, his death, his resurrection and ascension, Jesus proclaimed, or he announced, that God's reign on earth had begun. All people were now invited into the proclaimed kingdom. All people were now invited to enjoy and share in a relationship with God. At the start of his ministry, we're told that Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. He said, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." The time they'd been waiting for had now arrived. How could they know that? How could they know that it wasn't just this random man saying, "The kingdom of God's arrived"? There was probably other people at the time saying that. How could people know that it was true? Well, Jesus said, "The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are healed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised back to life, and the gospel is being preached to the poor." It's pretty obvious, isn't it? Something's changed. There's a new reality. The poor and the weak and the overlooked, well, now they're being seen, they're being acknowledged and cared for. Sickness, death, even, and disease, well, now they were being overcome. The message of salvation that up until this point had been preached to the Jews, well, now that extended to everybody. Anyone was able to hear and to choose to follow it. The kingdom that the prophets had spoken about, Jesus said, is now here. You only have to look and listen to see it. If it was that obvious, how come so many people missed it? How come the religious leaders, who better than anybody knew those Old Testament prophecies, how come they didn't recognize it? How come Jesus' own disciples, who'd spent 3 years with him, how come they failed to still understand the truth about the kingdom of God? I think it's because they all expected and wanted something different to what Jesus offered them. See, they expected that the Messiah was going to come as a judge who would overcome all of their enemies. He would take the throne and he would restore Israel to her former beauty. They were looking for a political figure, a strong leader who was going to come in, take control and conquer Rome. I think that's why the disciples asked the risen Jesus, "Lord, are you now going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" People didn't get it. They were so fixed on Israel being God's people and place under God's rule. They saw all of God's promises through this filter of Israel. Israel being restored. Israel being the beneficiary of all of God's promises. They simply could not see beyond their own view. Well, I want to say that I think we are very much the same. I think we struggle to see outside of what we know and want to be true. We struggle to see beyond ourselves, beyond our traditions, beyond our cultures, beyond our preferences, even beyond what we've previously been taught to be true. We close our minds off. We stay inside a box. I say that this week after I've spent considerable time with someone so locked into the ways of the past that they just couldn't accept or even consider anything that might be different, that might be okay, that might be even better. But I want to say that we should always expect that the ways of Jesus are going to stretch our thinking. They are going to take us out of a box. That Jesus is always going to be challenging our expectations, challenging our desires, challenging our thinking, because he wants us to grow. He wants us to be transformed into his likeness. He wants us to be able to proclaim his kingdom has come and for people to be able to see it and hear it. And that requires an openness from us, a willingness to step out and be willing to change and be open to what he's saying. As you read through the book of Acts and the letters in the New Testament, you see the followers of Jesus having to discover this for themselves, and it was really hard for them. They were so steeped in Jewish culture, in Jewish traditions, and they had their own preferences, their own likes. But they had to let go of so many of those things because they didn't fit with what Jesus came to bring. They had to accept new teaching that was often the opposite of what they'd previously been told. They had to open their minds. They had to open their hands to Jesus so that they could step into the proclaimed kingdom that he called them to live in, that he called them to live in as his witness. And it wasn't something that he asked them to do in their own strength, because he knew this would be incredibly hard. He asked them to do it through the presence and the power of his Spirit. In his last conversation that we read about, Jesus told his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." There's a lot we could take away from that verse, but I'm just going to ask us to take note of two things. One is that the Holy Spirit would be sent to these believers. When Jesus left them, he didn't leave them on their own. He gave them what he'd promised, the Holy Spirit. Someone who would be able to strengthen and encourage and teach and empower them. Someone who could be with each one of them all of the time, no matter where they went. In the Old Testament times, God's Spirit had usually been given just to individuals like kings or priests or prophets, given for a specific task or function. But now, Jesus says, now the Spirit is going to be sent to all men and women who choose to follow Jesus. Why? So that they can be his witness, so that they can be his messengers. The second thing is that the gospel's going to be proclaimed to all nations. I want you to stop and think for a moment about who it was that Jesus was saying is going to be the ones proclaiming this message, the ones who were going to be his witness. Think back to who these men and women were. Do you remember how scared those disciples were before Jesus died? How Peter denied three times even knowing Jesus? How they hid themselves away behind closed doors because they were so afraid. This was a small, weak, frightened group of people. To my thinking, it seems ridiculous that Jesus would entrust this mission to them, that he would think that they could possibly be his witnesses in Jerusalem, let alone the world. And the reality is they couldn't. They couldn't. Not in their own power and strength. But when they were empowered by the Spirit of God, they could do anything. They became unstoppable. They were able to even go out and stand out in the public and proclaim the good news about Jesus to the very people who had previously been opposed to them. It's what we see them do at the start of Acts. Luke tells us when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that came to rest on each one of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Everyone in that place was filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone, not just the special ones, not just the disciples, everyone in that place was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to do something that they'd never done before. They proclaimed the truth about Jesus Christ in languages that they had never learned, in languages that were spoken by the different nations, people who had gathered in Jerusalem at that time for Pentecost. I love this image. This image of God reversing the curse that followed the building of the Tower of Babel that we read about right back in Genesis 11. Where God judged the people there, and his judgment meant that he separated them by language. He divided them so that they couldn't communicate anymore, so they couldn't come together in their pursuit of being like God. But now, thousands of years later, through the work of God's Spirit, Jesus unites them. He calls people back together again. He creates this big multinational family of people who are united in their relationship with God. We are a multinational family united in our relationship with God, and it's a beautiful image. Where we are no longer separated because of our different languages or our different cultures or our different preferences, but we're now united in our shared relationship with God through Jesus. We are proof, we are the evidence that this curse has been lifted. It's a pretty good picture. These men and women could only do what they came to do because they were filled with the Spirit of God, because they were empowered by him to act as God's witness. They were enabled to bring his message of forgiveness and freedom and new life to people who otherwise would never have opportunity to hear it. They fulfilled what we call the Great Commission, where Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." This was the beginning of the age of proclamation to all nations. It's an age that continues today as we wait for Jesus to return. It continues to be an age where the gospel is proclaimed through the outworking of God's Spirit in our world. It's an age of the good news of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God being revealed through the words and actions of people like us. People who've chosen to trust and follow in Jesus Christ. You know, titles that used to belong only to Israel now belong to us. We are a chosen people. We are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, we can show others the goodness of God, for he called us out of the darkness into his wonderful light. It's a profound privilege that we are given. God's people today in the proclaimed kingdom are the church, people like you and I. Not because we're special, but because of God's deep love for us and his Son Jesus Christ's willingness to come and save us. As his people in the proclaimed kingdom, we are also God's place. In the Old Testament, God's place was seen through the presence of a building, a tabernacle or a temple, acting as a physical reminder to people of God's presence with them. But with the coming of Jesus, that all changed. God's place is no longer tied to a holy building. It's now tied to a holy people, to individuals like you and me, who together are called the church. Paul writes, "Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. We are carefully joined together in Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, becoming a holy temple for the Lord." We are God's house. Not a building, a people. And together, we live under God's rule and we enjoy his blessing in the proclaimed kingdom. And we do that through a new covenant, a relationship between us and God through his Spirit, who enables us to live according to God's standards, who helps us reflect God's character, helps us reveal his holiness, his righteousness, his goodness and justice, helps us alert people to the reign of Christ in our world even today, helps us enjoy his abundant provision. You know, when Jesus said the kingdom of God had come near, he meant that God's reign on earth had begun. It's not something that will start when he returns. It's already begun in Jesus. All people are now invited and welcomed into the proclaimed kingdom if they choose it. All people are able to enjoy a relationship with God if they choose to. You know, in the proclaimed kingdom, we are God's people and God's place, filled with his Spirit, who enables us to live under God's rule and enjoy his blessing. And we do that here on earth until Jesus returns and brings us into the perfect kingdom, which we'll hear next week. But before we get to the perfect kingdom, we still live in the proclaimed kingdom, waiting for the return of the King. And so there's three things that I want to just leave you with this morning. I want to ask where you've seen evidence of the proclaimed kingdom in our world this past week. For me, I saw it in Christchurch. I saw it in the sign held up by a homeless man calling for unity. I saw it in a government initiative here to plant 20 million trees over the next 2 years, helping our environment. I saw it in the celebration that followed the reunion of those co-joined twins being returned to their family in Bhutan and seeing the joy in that place when they got back there. Where have you seen evidence of the proclaimed kingdom in our world over this past week? How have you as an individual proclaimed the kingdom of God this week? As I thought about this, an example for me came as I was walking from a cafe to my car. There was an older woman that was coming toward me, and she was pushing a pram that was absolutely loaded with cans and bottles and bags, and she looked absolutely exhausted. When she got close to me, I said hello. And I felt a real grieving. And I said I was really sorry that she had to push this heavy load. She looked at me and she said something that I couldn't understand. She was from another culture. And I just felt compelled to just reach out, and I touched her shoulder and we talked just for a moment. Then she got out her phone and she showed me a picture of her sick husband lying in a bed, and she began to cry. And then she pulled me in close and she hugged me and she kissed my cheek, and again and again and again she kept saying thank you. And then we went our separate ways. There was nothing profound in that encounter. No sharing of the gospel in words. I just followed the prompts of the Spirit, the thoughts that he put into my mind. And in a really simple way, I proclaimed the kingdom of God. Through me, Jesus was able to let this woman know that she was seen, that she was cared for, that someone could see that her life was hard. How have your words, your actions, revealed something about the character of Jesus Christ? Something about the values of the kingdom of God this week? And the third thing is how can we together as a church proclaim the kingdom of God to our church neighbours? You know, over Easter, we have a lot of opportunity because it's a bit of a topic of conversation. It comes more out into the open. But as a church, we're committed to sharing our faith with the people around us. And on Easter Sunday, we're going to be having a celebration, telling the people around us that as the people of God, we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead, and we want them to celebrate that with us. So we're going to open up our doors, open up our side gates, and we're going to invite our neighbours to come in and share a meal with us. Have an opportunity to hear what the message of Easter is about. Have an opportunity to experience the welcome and the hospitality and the generosity of the kingdom of God. How can we as a church proclaim the kingdom of God to our church neighbours? So often we answer these questions by looking at for big things. We might not be giving sight to the blind, helping a lame person to walk, or raising someone from the dead, although I firmly believe those things still do happen in our world. But when we are listening and open to obey the promptings of the Spirit, that voice in our minds that prompts us to live like Jesus did, to act out of that filling of God's Spirit who fills and lives and walks with us, then I think we can't help but proclaim the kingdom of God. Through our words, through our actions, we alert people to the reign of Jesus Christ in our world even today. My hope is that each one of us over this week will have a greater awareness that we are filled with the Spirit of God just like these first disciples were. We have the same powerful Spirit in us, and he continues to speak to us because he wants us to continue to be the witness, the messengers of Jesus Christ in our world today, so that the people around us can come to see and to know, to consider and understand that God reigns in our world today, and he wants to welcome every person into the kingdom of God. You pray with me. Almighty God, it is so easy for us to approach you with excuses, but I'm sure that you have heard them all before. I'm reminded from Scripture that you intentionally choose the simple. You intentionally choose those that the world would not choose, because it's through the power of your Spirit that people come to know you, not through our cleverness. Lord, help us this week to be listening to your voice. Help us to be open to those opportunities to reach out, to speak words of kindness and compassion, to express your generosity, your hospitality, to act in ways that show your justice, your righteousness, your love. Help us to live as your people so that people can know you through us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.